The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Praise the
Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt becomes tasteless, what can make it salty again? It is good for nothing, and can only be thrown out to be trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp to put it under a tub. No, they put it on the lampstand, where it shines for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine in the sight of men, so that, seeing your good works, they may give the praise to your Father in heaven." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The other day I went through all the occurrences of the word world, cosmos, in the New Testament. And I found that world crops up in the New Testament in three ways. One is a neutral way, when it's just talking about in the world or throughout the world, just to say where something happens or to say there are no limits, like mission, drives the whole world. Then it occurs in a very good sense. The creation, the world. The world was made by God in Christ. And Jesus came into the world to be its salvation. John is the great thinker of that thought. God loved the world so much that he sent his only son. And Jesus says twice in the Gospel of John, "I haven't come into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved." So the world is something dearly loved by God because he made it and has never repented of making it. And the third way is when we hear of it as the world that would not accept him. When we hear of it as the world as that which is passing away. The world that will not know God. The world can neither receive the Spirit nor understand the Spirit. The world is something which can set itself up against its own Maker and its own Saviour. And then it becomes a malign force. The world, the flesh, and the devil fighting together. Thinking about this, I read today, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." We who belong to Christ are indispensable to this world. It doesn't say you are to be salt for the world, as a recent translation of the Bible has it. It says the salt. You are the salt, the only salt of the world. And that immediately puts us in relationship with the world. We've got a role in the world which no one else can fulfill. We don't know exactly what Jesus was thinking of when he said salt of the earth. Whether it was salt as a preservative, because before refrigeration, salt was most commonly seen as something to preserve meat with. Or whether it's the flavour that we experience so often and so beneficially usually. And Because Jesus goes on to talk about salt losing its savour, I would say that he means that flavouring, primarily. Nowadays, in politically correct houses, we're always being given food with no salt on it. And the art of seasoning is beginning to die. I deeply regret this trend. I don't know whether it is more healthy or not. These things are often reversed if you wait around long enough. I remember a court case recently where a young chef was suing the Savoy for illegal dismissal. And the head chef was put into the witness box. And one of the things he said about this young man was that he left out the salt. And the judge called the court to attention and said, couldn't the diners put the salt on when their food was delivered to the table? And the head chef drew himself up and said, at the Savoy, the cruets are merely ornamental. And that, I think, is the right attitude to salting food. Salt is, however, a servant. It's not a flavouring. If it becomes a flavouring, everybody spits the food out. Because the salt must be a servant of the other tastes. It must accentuate and not replace. And that is how we must be in the world. And that is not how we are in the world. This week, an academic in the university published an article about religion. He's done it very often before. It's his main subject for research, although he's an educationist. And he's discovered that in this country of ours, some 70 to 80% of people believe in God, which, considering the state of the churches, is an extraordinary statement, but it's true, apparently. Nearly 80% of people believe in God. More than that will actually claim that they've had experiences in their lives which are spiritual and which have changed them. I reckon that means that towards 90% of us are actually religious. Now, where are all these people when we call people to prayer? They are suffering from a modern cast of mind that we've got that daren't enter the sacred area of our lives. We've passed through perhaps 300 years before this century where we progressively try to eliminate God from our human considerations, to create the human being based on humanity, to look at the heart of man and say, what should we be like? And all sorts of grand schemes were constructed in what was called the Enlightenment. A world that was based on humanity. How many projects have been tried? Napoleon. The Great Elector. Bismarck. Hitler. Marx and Lenin. All of these people have tried to create a new fabricated vision of humanity, and humanity has almost died of their efforts. And the response in our century has been to throw away any kind of project to understand everything together, to understand religiously. And we've got the exaltation of the individual, where morality, as we say, has become a matter of taste. If it feels good, do it. Look into your own heart. What do you want? Go for it. And if the people around you don't like it, out with them. Go and find people who do. Gather around you like-minded souls. Make your little corner and get on with what you like. Why should you be dominated? Why should you be told anything about right and wrong? And in the name of that, we've thrown away in our world, concepts like right and wrong. We're so frightened of trying to thrust religion down people's throats, as the great phrase has it, that we have forgotten to feed people. And they are left in the loneliest way to make their own soul. Having been taught to despise everything that's ever been discovered in the past, they have to make their own way. No wonder old ladies are being robbed and raped, and bricks are going through windows, and theft is an everyday occurrence in every place of business and most streets. And there is violence and drunkenness and breakdown of every kind, breaking of promises, tinkling away in the background every day. Lies being told in the highest places and the lowest. Falsity peddled, recipe for happiness. Exploitation of every kind. That's what the postmodern world really means. And the world, in this way, will lose its savour. But I'm not preaching at the world. I'm preaching to you who have come to church today. You've not lost your savour. The soul loses its savour when it's so adulterated with other materials that it's no longer salt and you throw it away. That's not happened to you. But you too have been privatized. You've kept your faith and your love, which is the true taste of the world, but you've kept it in your pocket. We have closed down because we have swallowed that thought that it is wrong to speak to others about right and wrong. It's wrong to tell others about the truth. Perhaps they won't like it. Perhaps it's not true for them. Perhaps it's not right for them. There's nothing absolute. It's what you feel like. This works for me. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Don't be lit and then be hidden under a bucket. Because you're not the light anymore if you're not shining out. You're not the salt anymore if you stay in the salt cellar, however beautiful it may be. The salt has to be given. And when it's given, it dissolves, it disappears. And nobody, if all is well, nobody will take any notice of it. Only by its absence is the salt to be noticed. And the light is not to be shone into people's eyes until they're blinded. It is to shine over their shoulders. It is to light up their way. It's to light up what they're longing for and hoping for. And saying, this is the way forward. This obedience is modeled on Jesus, who came into the world and perished in the world because the world refused him. But he didn't perish privately because he couldn't be bothered to speak. He perished lifted up, raised up, exalted, and kings stood speechless before him and still stand speechless because he spoke the word of light. He gave to the world his life to be the salt, and he is our light. He calls us to give ourselves to the world, and we must, for the world's sake, find the way to do it right. Let us proclaim on.
We believe in one Lord, Father.